Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Oh, my goodness. It's a brand new week. Oh, can you believe it? It is already June the 10th. We are halfway through the year already. My, oh, my. But you know what? It's okay because God is with us through it all. The good, the bad, the ugly, whatever the situation, God is there. And so we move forward in faith. Father, we thank you for your presence with us each and every day, each and every moment of every day, God. We know that you are with us regardless of the circumstances. So Father God, we thank you for that presence. Even when we don't feel your presence, we still know that you are there because you said you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, no matter what. So we give you praise and thanksgiving for that promise that we can hold on to at all times. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo! Well, I am excited. I am excited. So let's get started. Moses and the mountains. Now, Moses spent a fair amount of his life and ministry climbing mountains after he was already 80. That's 80 years of age. Moses had to have been in great shape to have done that. But the reason I say mountains plural instead of mountain singular is because Mount Sinai is actually a mountainous region in the peninsula of Arabia, and it is located between the two gulfs of the Red Sea. You know, those things that looks like arms sticking up. Okay, that's the gulf. And right between, if you were to hold up your two arms the way I'm doing now, and right in the center of that section, that's where that mountainous region of Mount Sinai is. Now, this particular region has three summits. The lower one is called Horeb, H-O-R-E-B, Horeb, and that is located towards the northeast. The name Horeb literally means dry, so that gives you an idea of what the mountain must have been like. And then towards the south, the second summit is called Sinai, which means thorny, T-H-O-R-N-Y, thorny. And then the third summit, which is towards the southwest, is called Mount St. Catherine, St. Catherine. And there is desert around the mountains, and that area, that desert area, is called the Wilderness of Sinai. So, after Moses had killed the Egyptian who was mistreating one of the Hebrew slaves, he had to run for his life, and he ended up in this region called Midian. It's a desert region, and it was there that he met and married his wife Zipporah. Now, Moses' wife Zipporah was a descendant of Cush, the son of Ham. So, yes, Zipporah was a black woman. And Moses had two sons with her. Their names were Gershom and Eliezer. Now, Gershom, his name literally means foreigner. And according to Exodus 2, verse 22, Moses gave this explanation for naming his son. He said, "I am a foreigner in a foreign land." So let's just pause there for a moment and put a pin in this. Imagine calling your son or your daughter foreigner, a name that constantly reminds you where you are in a foreign place and why you are there because of the mistake you made in the past. Have you ever done that? Now, I don't mean naming a child foreigner, but have you ever been stuck in the memory of the past, a past failure that occurred in your life that just seems to haunt you? You can't forget, and it seems to keep you in a wilderness, in a dry place. Understand, that is the exact reason why Jesus died for your sin, so that you don't have to stay where you were. Jesus died that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Yes, you can and should learn from your past mistakes, but don't live in the past. You must move forward to the place God has destined for you. And listen, and this just came to my mind and heart, so I'm going to say it here. Also, you can't live in the past of someone who has transitioned from this life to the next. Yes, you may miss them and so forth, but you can't let the sorrow of the departure of your loved one keep you and hold you back from moving forward to the destiny that God has for you. And so that's why God brought Moses to Mount Sinai the first time by appearing in the form of a burning bush that was not burned up. Moses was curious, so God got his attention, and when Moses went to check it out, now God could speak to him. You know, sometimes God has to do things to get our attention, to get us to stop and look and listen to what he is trying to tell us, but we are not hearing. You know, I remember when I was laid off from my full-time job at the church. You see, prior to that, God had been trying to get my attention. He was trying to tell me that that particular season was over, but I wasn't trying to hear it, not at all. Even though I was no longer feeling fulfilled in what I was doing, even though it was no longer enjoyable and exciting the way it had been previously, it was still familiar and it was safe. And I had a check come in every 2 weeks. If I were to quit that job, what would I do? After all, I could not go back to a secular job after working for Jesus for 8 years at the church. And I could not see what else I could do. So I was stuck in my own limited understanding. I was indeed leaning to my own understanding and not listening to God. In fact, I refused to listen. I did not pray about it, but I justified it by saying it was God who called me to full-time ministry. It was God who gave me this job. You see, when I was in St. Thomas, the pastor called me and offered me the position as Christian educator. I didn't ask for it. It was offered. And God said to me, green light, go. So I rationalized and said to myself, to quit this job would be like quitting on God. And I definitely cannot do that. So I stayed, even though deep down in my heart, I knew God was trying to get my attention. He was trying to bring me to the burning bush so he could speak to me. But I refused. So since I did not come willingly, he brought me to the burning bush kicking and screaming by having me laid off. Yes, that was God getting my attention. Now that the safety net of a paycheck was gone, now that I was confronted with bills and no income, now that I am home alone, not knowing what to do, God definitely got my attention. You see, that was my burning bush experience. So I finally prayed and listened, and God sure enough told me the plan he had for me. I was to do full-time ministry. Well, I laughed. And I protested, but God, that's what I was doing, full-time ministry for you. And guess what? God laughed at me and said, no, now you are going to work for me directly. I am going to be your boss. Well, that was all well and good, but I did have a question. Lord, what is your payment plan? When and how often do I get paid? Well, needless to say, God did not answer that question, at least not in words, but he did answer it in action. You see, I was laid off on July 24, 2013, and August 24, 2013, 1 month later, I was in St. Thomas hosting a free conference that I had planned 6 months earlier, long before I knew I would be laid off. The conference was based on my new book at that time, Demystifying the Book of Revelation, Seven Critical Keys. Can I testify to you that during the 9 days that I was in St. Thomas, along with the conference, the book sales, and the other speaking engagements I had at church on the Sunday and the Wednesday, I'm telling you, and I had one Sunday speaking engagement in St. Martin. So during the 10 days in total that I was in St. Thomas and the one day in St. Martin, you know what? I earned more income than 1 month full-time at the church. Did you get that? In 10 days, God gave me more income than a whole month at the church. So I learned that what God said is true. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So even though there is no set payday working directly for Jesus, he makes sure that all my needs are met. But it's according to his riches in glory, not according to my own limited understanding. So I have learned to trust in the Lord with all my heart, lean not to my own understanding, in all my ways to acknowledge him and allow him to direct my paths. Now, I have to say that it was not my intention to give such a long testimony, but I believe that is what God wanted, because it is what someone needs in order to be encouraged. You may be in that wilderness now, wondering where God is, unsure of the next step, but God is trying to get your attention. So stop, look up, listen to his voice, and when he speaks, receive what he says, even though it may not be what you want to hear, even though what God says to you may seem so impossible. But because God said it, he is obligated, my goodness, to bring it to pass. Did you get that? If God said it, he is obligated to bring it to pass. But what you must do is believe and receive by faith what God is telling you. For Moses on Mount Sinai, on the mountain of Revelation, God was sending him back to Egypt, back to the place of his mistake, back to the place of his failure. But God was sending him back in order to move him forward. God was sending him back so that he could do what God had always destined him to do, free God's people from bondage. But Moses in the past had tried to do it his own way by killing one Egyptian. And now God was saying to Moses, you must do what I called you to do, but now you will do it my way. And guess what? Don't miss this. God's way was not the easiest way either. It took Moses 9 tries, 9 failures doing it God's way, telling Pharaoh to let the people go, with God sending 9 different plagues with no results, at least not the result they wanted, which was Pharaoh to agree to let the people go. My goodness, God, the grand plan that you told me isn't working. How often have you said that? I'm doing what you said, but it's not working the way you said it would work. If that's where you are, don't give up and don't give in. Why? God is testing your faith. God has the plan. You and I may not see it, but that's okay. That's why we live by faith and not by sight. If we knew it all and could see it all, then we would be God, but we are not. He is. So we trust him to work the plan out. And listen, he often confirms his great big plan in little ways first to encourage us that the big plan that he has given you will indeed be accomplished. Just hold on to God's unchanging hand and see the power of Pentecost. That was yesterday, Pentecost. The power of the Holy Spirit that resides in you. Stand still and see that power bring it to pass in due season. So your call to action today is just to believe God for the big plan and purpose he has for your life. Because in due season, he will bring it to pass. Have a marvelous Monday filled with faith. Woo! Glory to God. Peace and blessings rest upon you richly. Shalom.